This is the home of the Grit Grinder.
I'm a professional grinder.
Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050. Making your drive home a lot more fun.
Final hour, Overdrive, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and on TSN 2. Brian Hayes and Jamie Noodles McLennan were here until 7 p.m. Jack Armstrong will join us live from Indianapolis in about 20 minutes. The Raptors went off last night. Yeah. Big win for them, and all of a sudden the confidence has completely swung.
They look like a two seed, like you said.
They look like a two seed, and that's the way they're supposed to roll. They were up by double digits all night. Absolutely dominating performance. They are such a better team than Indiana. And I think they can roll now.
We've got an 8 TV tree. I think it's 8 for sure. 6. But on the top right-hand TV, we had it on. And I would keep an eye on it. And they were healthily ahead.
Oh, it was over. Like, by the end of the first quarter, it was done. Like, and it was never as if Indiana was going to make another push.
No.
Or make it close. And the Raptors were locked in, and full credit to them.
And Golden State lost, right?
They did. And I wonder if they're going to start getting a bit nervous, because Steph Curry's had that ankle injury, I believe it is. He's been out for the first three games. And I think they were confident that they could win this without him. And I think they still will. Houston's not any good, and Golden State's great with or without Steph Curry. But he's had injuries before that were rather substantial, that to the point where you wondered if it was going to derail his career a few years ago. And you wonder if something is really going on there.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps saying, you know, game time decision, blah, blah, blah. If they're really behind the scenes worried, like, he could be out for a while. Because if he's out, yeah, you can get past Houston. I don't know if you can get past Oklahoma City or San Antonio or Cleveland or the Raptors or whatever.
It's star power.
Star power.
And if he's out, if your best player, he's arguably the best player in the world, is he not?
He'll be the MVP for the second straight year.
Okay, so there you go. That answered my own ridiculous question.
There it is.
Although LeBron is right there, right?
You could argue LeBron, Steph Curry, maybe Kevin Durant.
Tomato, tomato, because they're all in that same league.
Great players, different styles, great players.
You remove them from that team, the team is a lot different.
Very much so. It's no different than any other sport, right? You take the best player off any team. That's why you look at what Tampa did in the first round against Detroit.
Pretty impressive.
I am very impressed with them. I think it was the most impressive outing for any team in the first round, considering they beat Detroit in 5 without Stamkos and without Strowman.
What do you make of, I don't know if this is even, but there's rumblings of Stamkos being interested potentially in a Detroit fit. I don't know if you saw that or it's just...
Yeah, those rumors have been out there for a while.
It's rumors.
But there's a lot of connected people that have suggested that Detroit could be the team.
But it's showing, for me anyways, it's shown that there is life after Steven Stamkos in Tampa without him being in the lineup. So Tampa, you know, if you're looking at that Jonathan Drouin kid, regardless of what you think of what he did, this kid looks to be like he's going to be okay and going to be a hell of a player. So if you're... consolation prize is that you get a chance to maybe if Drouin the fences get mend a little bit and you lose Stamkos to free agency, the team is still going to be good.
Well, they just proved that.
Yeah.
They just proved that through 5 games. They can win a series against a formidable opponent in 5 without him and own it all the way through. I mean, you also got to give it up to Ben Bishop, who never gets talked about enough.
No.
Never gets talked about. Never gets brought up as one of the top 5 or 7 goalies in the league. And you look at the stats the past 2 years, that's exactly what he's been.
Yeah, he's been outstanding.
He's been absolutely outstanding for them. So they got a good thing going regardless, and Strowman will return at some point. So I agree with you. I think you see what they did in the first round. It makes it more feasible that they're going to walk away from Stamkos as opposed to Stamkos being the one that will initiate the breakup.
Right.
And if he goes to Detroit, that's where the Datsyuk angle gets a little bit interesting too, because Pavel Datsyuk likely going to retire. That's a $7.5 million cap hit that has to stay on the cap in Detroit. I'm not sure you can sign Stamkos and have dead cap like that.
No.
You'd have to get really creative if you're the Red Wings.
Well, Frank Saravelli wrote an article for TSN.ca talking about that and potentially teams that, you know, have to get to the bottom of the floor and have that on the books, even though if it's not real cash going out. You know, you look at Chris Pronger was actually on the books for the Arizona Coyotes this year, even though people don't know that he went into the Hall of Fame as an Arizona Coyote, technically on paper. And that's, you know, Detroit will have to be creative with something like that if they want Stamkos' services. I still believe that, you know, I think it's a greater percentage than 50% that Stamkos will stay in Tampa and they'll find a way. But I think it proves that if you thought he had all the leverage, Tampa may say, well, hold on a second here. There's a point where we're going to have to walk away from this because it doesn't make sense for us financially.
I think that is absolutely at stake here if you're both sides, Tampa or Stamkos, where all of a sudden Tampa feels likely a lot more comfortable with putting their stake in the ground and saying, we can only give you 8.5 a year. Take it or leave it. We are not giving you a penny more because we can survive without you, and we've proven that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, if you're Stamkos and you're his representative, really makes you wonder how they're going to approach the back and forth. Because that report came out a while ago that was the initial offer from Yzerman and company, 8.5 per.
Right.
And I think we all agreed, okay, that's just a starting point, and there's going to be some wiggle room. And I would think there still would be.
For sure.
But it may not jump up to $10 million. The wiggle room might be $9
million. Yeah.
And we can give you $9 million a year. Take it or leave it.
May fall in there. And that'll be up to, I mean, Stamkos' representatives, Newport, they're smart people. They know the league very well. They will know the marketplace very well. They will create a marketplace because that's how powerful they are. So, you know, if you're sitting there and thinking, okay, well, maybe Detroit's a player, maybe Toronto's a player, but it may be somebody completely off the map. Maybe it's the Montreal Canadiens that go, you know what? We got the goaltender. We got the defenseman. Let's take a stab in the dark here. Can we make it work? Maybe it's Mark Bergevin that says, you know what? I do a lot of things kind of behind the scenes. Take a stab at this guy, see what happens.
They could use some goal scoring. There's no doubt about that in Montreal. Jack Armstrong will join us in about 15 minutes, looking back on a big win by the Raptors last night, Game 3 down in Indiana. But the big news today in Toronto is Chris Colabello being suspended 80 games for the usage of PED. He released a statement saying he found out about this on March 13th. He's claiming ignorance. He doesn't know how or why this would happen. He's not the first one to go down that road. And the reality is, it doesn't matter what he says right now. He's done for the next 80 games. Let's head down to the park now, catch up with our TSN 1050 Jays reporter Scott MacArthur. Scotty, when the news broke and what's been happening over the past couple of hours, what's the vibe like around the team?
Yeah, it was very weird, Brian, because I arrived and got wind that something regarding Colabello was coming down, and it was a suspension, but we didn't know for what. Your first, of course, assumption is that it has something to do with PEDs, and sure enough, it did. Nobody knew about this. The Toronto Blue Jays didn't know about it. The front office manager, John Gibbons, only Chris Colabello, who found out on March 13th, and a couple of teammates, including Kevin Pillar, who he confided in back in the opening series in Tampa Bay, only they knew about this. An appeal was undertaken separate from the ball club. This is the way these things work in Major League Baseball. The ball club does not play a role in this, had no knowledge of it. Obviously, the appeal was denied. The drug, boys, is an anabolic steroid, and I have not had a lot of opportunity, just because I've been running around down here on the field, to investigate more about it. But in what I have read, and it's an anabolic steroid called dihydrochlormethyl testosterone. This stuff was originally cooked up in East Germany pharmacies way back in the day. So this isn't something that, oh, I got a sneeze and I took a Reactan, or I got a cold and I took a chlortriplon and oops, there was something in there that shouldn't have been. This was a urine test for which he tested positive in March. And I know that he's denying knowledge of how it got into his system, but stuff like this just doesn't randomly show up.
Scotty, I got to give you full marks. I don't know if you practiced that in the mirror or having to say that word. We tried it a few times on the show. We gave up on it, but the fact you get full marks for even saying
Nudes,
it. Yeah.
I did a 5 o'clock hit on SportsCenter and I nailed it. And you can tell me, I'm like, you know, I was thinking to myself, if I do this, I have to hit it. I can't butcher it mid sentence and then get all jumbled. So I've been repeating it 1,000 times. That's the only reason I was able to roll it off my tongue.
You are a legend.
You are
man.
A legend. First start today for
legend.
Sure. I just want to talk about Chris Colabello. Is he? I mean, you're around him every day. You get an opportunity to see how popular he is in that dressing room, how well-liked he is. You know, is that something that shakes kind of the core of the dressing room, or do you believe that the guys will be able to move past it just because it's a little bit more of an individual sport once you are up on, you know, up in the batter's box or out on the field?
Well, they're going to have to move past it for sure, Jamie. But, I mean, I think this is a stunner for a lot of the guys who didn't know. And, I mean, Colabello, Major League Baseball opens up the clubhouses to media 3.5 hours before first pitch, and we were not allowed in at 3:35 this afternoon. We were told that we would be informed when we would have access. And what was happening at that time was Chris Colabello had called a team meeting, and apparently he stood up, very emotional based on conversations I had with a couple of his teammates, very emotionally admitted that this is what was going on. And he had explained the appeals process, and he said everything he said in the statement, doesn't know how it happened and blah, blah, blah. But he's gone for 80 games. And guys, this drug testing policy in Major League Baseball has evolved over the years. It's not a CBA to CBA thing. The Melky Cabrera thing in 2012 happened within this current CBA. And the first time offense back then was 50 games. It is now 80 games and postseason ineligibility. So Colabello can come back after 80 games and play out the remainder of the regular season. But if the Blue Jays make the playoffs, he is ineligible for the postseason. So there's that to add to it, too.
Really? Wow. Yeah, this really has the ability to completely reverse the course of his career.
Well,
and it immediately changes the way you feel about what he did a year ago, too.
Well, you never know. Brian, look, like, let's just – he tested positive, right? And he tested positive for something that originated in East Germany. Okay, so however it happened, that's for him to explain on the day he chooses to explain it. He did not explain any of it in the statement other than he's not sure.
Well, now he's got to explain two things, though, right, Scott. He's got to, if he gets to a point where he explains why it happened, he's also got to explain why he wasn't truthful about it when he sent out the message today. Because clearly, this would be deemed bogus if that ends up happening.
Well, and it is what it is. Like I said, I mean, it's not like you're going to your local pharmacy picking up some allergy medication and then peeing a positive test for an anabolic steroid. It doesn't work that way. This was in his system for a reason. You have to assume, despite his denials. And at 32 years old, guys, I mean, this was one of the truly feel-good stories in Major League Baseball last year, a guy who hit above 300 and was a significant contributor to a postseason team. This guy wasn't playing minor league baseball for most of his 20s. He was playing independent league baseball, unaffiliated baseball. Pro baseball, yes, in that you get a lump sum per game, and it ain't much. But, I mean, he was visiting towns like Quebec City and Nashua, New Hampshire, and Ottawa. And, like, I mean, it was independent baseball. And so for a guy to have gotten a sniff with the Minnesota Twins, had some unfortunate injuries with them, to find a home in Toronto and do what he did last year in his early 30s, that was a big deal. And it maybe set him up for a few years down the road. I mean, you can't predict now what this means for Chris Colabello, but it certainly kind of puts a cloud over what was a very sunny period of time for him over the course of his windy and curvy career.
Thank you, Scotty, for the update. Try to enjoy it down there this weekend. We'll do it again next week.
You got it, boys. Thanks.
Scott MacArthur, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. The Baseball Insider was brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. And that's it, man. I mean, this guy was playing in leagues you've never heard of before 4 or 5 years ago.
So, like,
like down at Christie Pitts.
Beer league.
Well,
but paid.
I mean, a little bit higher than beer league. But like Christie Pitts, you get one glove a year. If the thumb falls off, that's on you, dude. You go to National Sports and buy a new glove. Like, and we're talking budget leagues.
Will you make a grand a game?
Maybe. Tops.
Not even, because if you play 160 games, those guys aren't making a Or did they play?
They wouldn't play that many games. I can't imagine. I mean, I can't sit there and tell you I'm a source for these leagues I've never heard of before.
That's insane.
But you got to wonder how many times throughout his 20s he had that internal conversation. Is it time to hang him up?
Yeah.
Right? Like, just, I got to get out of here.
Well, there's
just, what am I doing?
There's journeymen in all sports that are grinding it out. They're 10 years pro. And yet, you're right, they're 28 years old and saying, at what point do I, you know, say, check, please, get into the real world?
I'm 32. I'm Colabello's age. And I played hockey all the way up. And I still have buddies or guys that I'm not as close with anymore that I used to play with that are still playing
right
in leagues in the Slovakian Pro League.
Right, Division II.
Division II, making $200 a game or something. Yeah. And I sit there and I'm like, what are you going to do when you come back?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I understand that you love the game and that's all you know, but at some point you got to realize the pros are not waiting for you. And that was the thing that made this Colabello story so incredible, is that some scout somewhere found him, said, I guess give him a flyer, let him come to spring training. He must have had a hot spring.
Right.
Minnesota lets him play some games. He gets picked up on waivers by the Jays last year, and he hits like a machine.
So that's, I mean, if you look back on it and the career path of his, not absolving him or making excuses, maybe this substance helped him make it to the majors.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with speculating that. Everyone's speculating that now. And if the Jays aren't speculating that right now, they're fooling themselves.
Okay.
If you're Atkins and Shapiro, you have to be wondering, can this guy play like a major leaguer if he's clean?
Yeah.
Because he came out of nowhere effectively and then hits like Babe Ruth over 100 games.
Right.
Now he's clean. Sure, this has been hanging over him clearly since March 13. But you look at his stats through this season. I've got him here. He's had 32 plate appearances. He's hitting 69. 69.
So .69.
He's got two hits in 29 at-bats.
So clearly, I mean, you're right. It's over him mentally, but physically maybe he's unable to get there because he's not as, I don't know what the word would be.
Well, maybe he's not as juiced up, not as quick, not as smooth. I don't know.
Explosive or whatever.
Yeah, and listen, this is a small sample size. I get it. I mean, maybe he was bound to turn around starting tonight and lighting the league up on fire. But if you're Atkins and Shapiro, you've got to consider every single angle here.
Well, that number is just an avalanche of games, though. 80.
80 games. He's going to lose upwards of $250,000.
Think about that. The only measuring stick I have is, like, Rafi Torres lost a half a season for an egregious hit, and he had a rap sheet. And we were like, that's a mountain. I mean, this guy's getting a half of a season, you know, for substance abuse.
Something he clearly decided to do, even though he's claiming ignorance here. If the East German scientists were cooking this bad boy up 30 years ago, you know, that's, you got to go somewhere to find it. And again, you talk about him finally making that money. Like, he's making $530,000 or something like that this year, and he's in his 30s. It took him this long and this much of a fight and this much of a grind to get there and finally start making that cash. And then he put himself in this position, and Major League Baseball is going to say, no, we'll take half of that right off the bat.
Man.
I mean, this guy, let's say he doesn't play beyond this year.
Right.
So his major league career, he probably made, I don't know, maybe $1 million total.
Yeah.
You can't live off that the rest of your life.
No, but he still came out ahead, technically, what you may have been saying, because he did get to make $1 million instead of a lot less grinding it out on the buses and driving to games and buying a glove at National Sports.
Right.
You know, I mean, is that what you weigh out? You know, ultimately.
Well, I'm sure that's exactly what. I'm reading minds here, but again, that's the hypothetical that I think we've always asked ourselves since the steroid era kind of came about.
Right.
If you're a fringe player, if the difference between you playing AAA and making $70,000 a year and playing in the majors and making $700,000 is you taking a pill or two, there's a lot of people walking this earth that would say, where's the pill?
Well,
where's the pill?
You're right, but then I would never tie them two together, but you know, we talk about concussions in sports, and certainly now how it ties to hockey, and people saying, "Well, we knew you knew the risks. You know the risk. A guy who fights for a living, or used to, not as much in hockey anymore. A guy who fought for a living, you knew the risk that if you went on the ice and you were going to fight, you know, there's a chance that you could sustain a concussion. And what is the risk of your health or
the paycheck?
The paycheck.
And that's exactly what happens. And that's why you see in pro sports and in football more than anything, because the contracts aren't guaranteed, players don't reveal they have concussions.
Right.
Because they're fearful that they're going to get cut, and then they're going to lose their paycheck.
Money's gone.
Exactly. And I know, again, it's not a perfect world scenario, but I can understand the mentality of players who are fringe players, who are finally making money for the first time in their lives, and they're terrified that if they go public or are honest or try to do it clean, that those paychecks are going to be basically thrown out the window.
Yep.
Raptors with a big win last night. We'll catch up with Jack Armstrong, recap that game last night, look ahead to game four over the weekend. And future headlines still to come later in the hour.
Sounds good.
We're here until 7 p.m. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Future headlines in about 15 minutes. Looking ahead to the weekend. NHL playoffs continue. NBA playoffs continue. Blue Jays in action this weekend at home down at the Rogers Center with Oakland in town. Aaron Sanchez on the mound tonight taking on Sonny Gray. So it will not be an easy outing for the Blue Jays. And Chris Colabello clearly will not be playing tonight. He's been suspended for 80 games. Jack Armstrong will join us here in just a moment. The Raptors went legend last night. That is how a two seed is supposed to play. Fundamentals. And they went like 9 or 10 players deep again, too, which you don't see that much in the playoffs, but they had such a cushion.
Why not?
That Casey's like, all right, next man up. Get out there. Get some minutes.
As the playoffs go deeper, you're going to need to shorten the bench.
Big time.
Get your big boys some rest when you have the opportunity. You got a little bit of a cushion. Get everyone involved feeling good about their game, too. That's great coaching.
Let's bring in Jack Armstrong, our TSN 1050 Raptors analyst. This Raptors Insider Report is presented by Regis Business Centers. Regis, changing the way Canadians work. Call 1-800-OFFICES or visit regis.ca. How big was that, Jack? The fact that Dwayne Casey could go deep into the bench and save up minutes later in the series or later in the playoffs for guys like Kyle and JV and DeMar when you know he's going to shorten up the bench down the road?
Well, obviously you look at last night and they didn't play Norman Powell, so he only played 9 guys last night, but he was able to, late in the game, obviously get some reserves in. And I think to me, more than anything else, when you look at the game last night, it's just how they started. I thought they did a beautiful job setting the tone and how they were going to play, and that this is what it's going to look like. And there was no let up. I mean, they were very, very focused in terms of how the game plan was going to be established. They only turned the ball over one time in the first quarter. Took good shots. They got DeMar DeRozan going. And, so when you add it all up, it was a thorough, complete performance, which to me speaks volumes about their focus and maturity coming into the game last night.
I thought Bismack Biyombo was outstanding for them in that first half. And, I mean, he's been a very solid backup for them really all year. And that's a position that they can take advantage of going up against Indy's bigs. Corey Joseph, another big night. Patrick Patterson. Keeping in this line of thinking, do you expect those three in particular, the three main guys coming off the bench, and I guess T-Ross as well, but he didn't play a ton last night, do you expect Joseph, Bismack, and Patterson to play this big of roles throughout this playoff run?
They're going to have to, because when you look at this team, with all due respect to a guy like Louis Scola, he doesn't play that big a role at the starting power forward spot. So, they go probably 5-6 minutes into the first quarter with Patterson, and he plays the most important minutes of the game. And then when you look at a guy like, Biyombo, I mean, he plays critical minutes when Valanciunas comes out, and Corey Joseph a lot of times plays together with Kyle Lowry. So they play a major role, and they have all year, and that's a big part of why they're good. And even a guy like Terrence Ross, who's kind of a hired gun who comes in and can shoot threes and stretch the defense out, you know, they're a nine-man team. And, you know, it's interesting. Norman Powell played so well for them down the stretch. Early in this series, Dwayne Casey was playing 10 guys. But I think you ultimately have to come to grips with the fact that in the playoffs, most coaches usually go with only eight and sometimes nine. And the fact that they were playing 10, I think, hurt their chemistry a little bit. I thought last night everyone kind of knew where they stood, knew what their role was, knew what they had to do, and it really looked it.
With Jack Armstrong, our TSN 1050 Raptors analyst, wraps with a big win last night, Game 3 in Indianapolis, and Game 4 going this weekend. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. I think when you consider the way they played the past two games, Jack, it's amazing how the pendulum has swung in terms of confidence as an outsider. From your perspective, being in the building for all three games and knowing this team as well as you do, when you consider the way they played in Game 2 and they were even better in Game 3, now how do you look back on what happened in Game 1?
Number one, I look back on the fact that I hate, at the end of the season, resting guys, number one. And I think it took away a little bit of their edge. I think the games that they had to play down the stretch in some ways it took away their edge a little, and they weren't as sharp. Whereas you looked at Indiana, they had to play well down the stretch to kind of get their seventh seed. And I think it showed in how they played in Game 1. And, you know, the fact that the Raptors had beaten them 8 days earlier in Toronto without Lowry, DeRozan, Carroll, and Scola, and they did it so convincingly in a game that Indiana really needed. I think in some way human nature maybe let them think that it was going to be easier than it really was going to be. And you could talk all you want about it as a coach, but you got to live it to experience it. And, you know, so to me, I think that now they got hit in the mouth, and they got hit in the mouth a few times on Saturday afternoon in Game 1, and they caught a lot of flack from the fan base. And I think they've now said, hey, okay, now I got to be ready to roll here. And the last two games, they've done just that. So it's been really impressive. They've been locked in defensively. They've played really hard defensively, everyone that's out there. And offensively, I think they're starting. They haven't really shot well. I mean, you look at Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan's shooting percentages. You look in general, all the wide-open shots they missed last night. They haven't even had their best offensive game. But that's okay. Their defense has been real sound.
Well, I think it really says something about how poorly DeMar played the first two games when people are giving him a standing ovation for his game last night, where he was a lot better, but he can be a lot better than that, right? I mean, you have to expect more than DeMar going forward.
Well, you know, Brian, it's interesting. It's going to be hard for him to be that much better in this series. And, you know, and let's just be optimists here for a moment. If they're fortunate enough, and again, this series is far from over, and, you know, it's going to take a lot to win it. DeRozan is not going to go against a tougher defender the rest of the playoffs than the one he's going against right now. I mean, with all due respect to Miami, unless Charlotte miraculously turns it around, Dwayne Wade, Joe Johnson, Luol Deng are not better defenders than Paul George. Even Winslow, the kid from Duke. They're not better than that. If they get to the Eastern Finals, J.R. Smith and Shumpert are not better defenders on the wing than Paul George. They get to the NBA Finals, the only guy that scares the heck out of me is Kawhi Leonard a little bit. You look at Klay Thompson and Iguodala, I don't put them in the class of Paul George defensively. So, you know, I think he's got to earn his keep and do the best that he can in this series. And try to be a good teammate and play hard defensively and pick his spots appropriately, which I thought he did a great job with in the first quarter. A little bit inconsistent after the first quarter with it, but again, better, and I think that'll help his confidence. But, you know, he's dealing with a guy right now that's a major league stopper at that position.
How do you expect Indianapolis or Indiana to make adjustments going into Game 4? What do you expect to see out of them?
Brian, real hard to make adjustments when you play Thursday night and then you have to play Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Right.
You know, so you kind of come together for practice today. You walk through a few things. But you are what your habits are. You know, you are this. You know, the And again, I think that's why that helped Toronto in game two when you played Saturday afternoon and then Monday night. We just didn't have that much time. But when you have the extra day, a lot of times, you know, the adjustments can kick in a little bit more and you could do a little bit more in terms of game plan and your scheme. But I really think when you look at this one tomorrow, it's more about like, hey, this is what you are. This is what your standard of performance, this is what your team personality has been since the first day of training camp. So, you know, your habits got to be there. You got to be locked in. And I really think that the tone of the game will be defined probably 15 minutes into the game live action. You know, when all the starters have played their minutes, the subs have gotten their first rotation. And now you're, you know, 8-9 minutes left in the second quarter, and now you kind of, the game will start to develop its personality. But to me, I think Indiana, if I'm Frank Vogel, I got to consider playing a lot smaller. The only front court player that I would, in my opinion, even consider playing is Miles Turner, who's played well, the rookie. But the other guys have just gotten their tails kicked by, you know, Bismack Biyombo, Jonas Valanciunas. And I would play small. That would be the only, and that has nothing to do with adjustments. I would just, you know, change my playing rotation in terms of who's out there. In terms of the Raptors, I don't think you do really anything differently. You know, the only thing that would maybe change things a little bit is, how does a guy like Damari Carroll feel after playing 35 minutes last night? And, you know, how his mojo is going into game four. But those would probably be the only things that really jump out at me right now.
Can't wait for it tomorrow. Enjoy it, Jack. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, buddy.
Brian, all the best. Have a great weekend.
There he is, Jack Armstrong, our TSN 1050 Raptors analyst. Game four tomorrow. And, of course, you can listen to it right here on TSN 1050. Can't wait.
I think that'll be a good one. Plus, I think they're in a groove that they're going to roll through now.
I think they might. I know it's amazing where we were.
Like, whoa, we were talking at Sport Check on Monday.
Monday, freaking out about how they played in game one. And understandable, because they were awful in game one. And
right.
We had been down that road before. But past two games, they've been outstanding. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Washington ends it tonight at home against Philly.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Islanders because they're paying 220 in Florida.
Really?
It's been a coin flip series. If you're giving me 220, I'm going to take it.
Okay.
And Dallas ends it tonight at home as well against Minnie. Throw down $20 on all three, and you can win $71.60. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. Future headlines next.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
I'll tell you what, I was never a big Prince guy, but the past 24 hours, I've been rocking out to some Prince, man.
I'm the same way. Can you imagine his record sales? He didn't even need help before this, but I guarantee you they've spiked because I went and bought the best of Prince yesterday.
Someone posted a screenshot of iTunes and the top charts, and he had like the first 20 songs or something on the iTunes charts.
For sure. Everyone's buying them because you forget about people sometimes, and then all of a sudden something like this brings it right back in. And for me, I grew up listening to this guy. He was outstanding.
Well, David Bowie got the same treatment.
Yep.
Right? When Bowie passed away, all of a sudden everything was all Bowie all the time. And now Prince passes away and it's all Prince all the time. But
should be.
It's a good tune, man. I had this thing going in the shower this morning, feeling it. Into the weekend.
See, I'm a little red Corvette guy. That's my thing.
All right. Can't go wrong with either one.
I wanted to have a little red Corvette, but.
You want to be Corvette guy?
No, old school, like 1957. My understanding is they run really rough with the two-tone. I always wanted a 1963, I believe. That was the first year of the same old body type, new motor. Corvette kind of collector told me about it. I almost bought one in the late 90s when I was playing for the St. Louis Blues. And then I thought, what a terrible vanity purchase, because I'll never drive it. Apparently, they run really rough. I took a couple for test drives, but...
Yeah, car guy is a weird guy. Like, the guy who's got that really vintage old car and leaves it in the garage and drives it three times a year, but it's, more important than his children.
I have a buddy who has a $300,000 Mustang that's in a bubble in his garage. Like, he's got a 10-stall garage, but you go into the garage, and it's got, it's in a bubble. So what is it doing? It just sits there. You don't drive it.
If one of his kids got in there and beat the hell out of it with a baseball bat, that kid would be in an orphanage.
Yeah, for sure.
By midnight that night. All right. Future headlines brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza.
Mix A. Bernier!
Or
shifts were too long. Got caught out there. Turned the puck over. Dug it out of our net.
Or
the 1-1. Bautista drives it!
Or
in my eyes, I've given them a... I've given this organization a 5-year hometown discount already.
Overdrive, future headlines.
All right, so the O-Dog left us about an hour ago.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll play the part of O-Dog, but I'm also going to take part in this too. So I'll read them off.
Okay.
We'll go back and forth. Let's kick it off with the Raptors.
Nice.
Future headline, game 4 tomorrow. The Raptors continue to roll in game 4 and come home with a 3-1 lead over the Pacers. Or the Raps revert to their game 1 playing style as Pacers even up the series.
No, they're the first option. I think they're going to continue to roll and come home with that big lead.
I'm absolutely on board with that. They've been playing confidently the past two games. Last night they dominated from start to finish. The Pacers can't roll with this team when they're playing well, and I think they realize that. The Blackhawks continue the comeback with a big Game 6 win at home tomorrow night. Or the Blues quiet the Chi-Town faithful with a big series-clinching win on the road.
I'm taking Chicago. I think this goes to 7. It just has that feel. Jonathan Toews can't buy one right now. He had about 4 great chances yesterday, and he couldn't bury it. Guess who's going to step up in 6 and 7?
Do you think Johnny T? Yeah, do you think they're coming back and they're going to close this?
I don't know, but I still believe that Toews in Game 6 is going to be your guy.
The Blues have been the better team.
They have been.
They were the better team last night. They deserved to win that game.
They did.
And I don't know. I feel like they're determined, and I think they know.
Fair enough.
If they lose tomorrow night, I feel like they're going to...
Well, yeah, they're done.
They might get blown out in Game 7. So, you know what? I don't know why. Positive Friday for some reason down in St. Louis. Thinking of our boy Chaser, who had a plaid suit on last night. You see that thing?
I did.
Chaser, I love that
Chaser,
guy.
Chaser, well, because you're not going to challenge him on it because he'll
no chance.
He'll take you to the woodshed.
It would look horrible on everyone else, but great on Chaser.
Exactly.
I'll take the Blues quieting the hometown crowd tomorrow night. The Kings stay alive with a gutsy Game 5 win at home, or... the Sharks finally dethrone the Kings and move on to the second round.
I think this one's going a little longer. I think L.A. takes it tonight. They haven't won at home, and Uncle Daryl will have them all wound up in their game.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. But again, San Jose has been the better team, much better
team. All 4 games, San Jose has been the better team. No doubt about it.
The Kings, though, back up against the wall. I think Jonathan Quick will stand on his head tonight.
Well, he stood on his head in Game 3 and got them the win, and he played very well in Game 4, but it wasn't enough.
All right, you sold me. I'm going on the Kings here. Chris Colabello serves his 80-game suspension and returns as if he never left. Or Chris Colabello suspended for 80 games, but it might as well be a career because he never gets back to the same form.
I'm going to go with the latter, even though I don't want to. I think, you know, when you're out for a half a season and you're a guy who's, you know, in the lineup but maybe of... let's call him a fringe,
Yeah, he's solid, a platoon guy.
Platoon, you get pushed back. Like, depth steps in. Somebody will push by him.
I tend to agree with you.
I hate to say
that. I know.
That.
You want to see the guy be able to grind back, but he put himself in this position.
Yeah.
He took this stuff. I don't care what he's saying with this statement that he doesn't know how or why. And I think you really have to wonder if the guy... you had to wonder coming into this year anyway, could he replicate what he did last year? Last year was a magical season. He found magic in a bottle, and maybe it was because he was souped up on roids.
Right.
But I don't see him all of a sudden extending this into a career.
Yeah.
I think this could be the end of the road for him. All right, 2-for-1 Pizza, of course, sponsors the future headlines.
Yes.
And we ask everyone every week for people to tweet us their future headlines at Overdrive 1050 for a chance to win 3 two-for-one pizzas.
Nice.
This week's winner is Stephen DeMello, at Stephen DeMello. This is his tweet. Brian Hayes goes Jim Benning with the draft simulator this weekend. Or Hayes has self-control and patiently awaits next Saturday for the real deal.
No, you're going to be Benning for sure.
I guarantee you Benning this weekend. Because
why?
Sleep training tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Birthday party tomorrow afternoon. Everyone else I know is going out and partying this weekend. I am sitting at home.
Yeah.
I might as well go pants off, full-out Jim Benning routine.
For sure.
The draft simulator is somehow going to get me through the weekend.
Stephen DeMello, you nailed it.
You absolutely nailed it. So there you go. Hook up from 2-for-1 Pizza. All right, buddy. You ready to hit the 3 stars?
Let's do it.
Overdrive. 3 stars of the day.
The 3 stars is presented by Spring Free Trampoline. I'll kick off this party.
Yeah.
These are my first stars, but I'll put them in the 3rd star
Fair
because
enough.
This is more of a show thing. My daughter, Everly, turns 5 months old tomorrow.
I know.
For her 5th month birthday, sleep training. Just the worst parents in the world.
What's coming,
she has no idea what's coming. And I hope she gets through the night. God,
she will. You'll be fine.
It's going to be all right. We'll be good.
Grind it through.
And her friend, our friend Nora, we're going to her birthday party tomorrow.
Okay.
Nora Lisk will be 2, I believe, today.
Okay.
Big party tomorrow. And speaking of birthdays, the 2 seed or the 2 star, Gurdeep.
Gurdeep.
Our boy Gurdeep.
Yeah.
His birthday this weekend. So there you go. Who's the first star?
Scotty Mack is going to be the first star for saying it cleanly, the drug that Chris Colabello was on, because it is as long as the alphabet and there are like consonants and I don't even know if some of them have letters.
I can't believe he did it. There were symbols in there.
I
mean, good for him. He's a legend. The 3 stars was presented by Spring Free Trampoline, the world's safest trampoline built to last all weather conditions. Visit springfree.ca or their fully stocked showroom in
Markham.
We're out of here. All right, buddy. We'll see you Monday at
Sounds
noon.
Sounds good.
It's been Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.